All right, let's start. Uncontrolled anger is so debilitating that because it is shown in public, it is very unpredictable. Of course, the answer to the anger is self-control that is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23, one of the aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The anger, listen please, anger is a choice. A person chooses to get angry and a learned behavior. According to psychologists, severe anger is a form of insanity. Is it wrong to get angry? Answer me back. No, it's not. God gets angry. Jesus was angry. But severe anger, flying off the handle, yes, it is wrong. The God's mercy are new every morning, but the Satan is at our, let me rephrase it. Satan is ready to dish out his own scheme against us. Like the rest of us, David had to learn the hard way that we cannot live today on yesterday's obedience. In our last chapter study, what happened? What was the situation? Anybody remember what we studied last? Yes, Anna. Once in a lifetime. I mean, he could have stopped all that cat and mouse game. He's no longer have to be a fugitive. But he let God handle the revenge. So he was completely obedient to the Lord, brought honor to him. But that doesn't mean that he could carry that as a credit for today's obedience. Am I making sense to you? Today, sin, he is overcome by his own hard-headed, ugly attitude and nearly committed murder. However, the story does not end with the bloodshed, but outpouring of grace. Let's take a look at David in one of his most human moments, by the wise woman God used to turn his hostile heart back to himself. Let's stop and pray. Father, we don't make an excuse. And when we get angry, when we get upset with the situation, we always have a choice to be obedient to you, or we can lash out to the people and do the wrong things, and only to regret. Father, it's better for us to control our emotion and not be into that kind of angry mode, unless it's righteous anger. Father, we pray that let us become more mature than ever before, that we may be able to control our emotion properly. That when we come across that kind of situation, people may know that we are different because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Teach us from this anger management 101 class. Speak to us. Anoint our heart to receive your word obediently and anoint the one who speaks. Pray this in Jesus' name. Chapter 25, verse 1, please. We have a lot of things to cover, all 44 verses, hopefully. So when you answer, try to make it concise, please. Then Samuel died and Israelites gathered together and lamented for him, buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail. She was a woman of a good understanding and beautiful appearance. But man was harsh and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Stop there, please. I'm not going to ask you to give me the interpretation because it's so obvious. Who died? What was he? Prophet and? Okay. He was the last what? Judge. So the period the judge is over, now the kingship is in. Tired and sad, David left from the En-Gedi where they, but there are a bunch of the caves were, and he stretched out in the wilderness of Maon. And he and his men employed themselves as the guardians for the ranchers and their flocks. It was not like a protection racket, like a mafia does. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen in the movies and heard about it. And they said, we'll give you protection and you give us money. That was not the case. It was a volunteer force and no contract was signed. And it was a customary thing for the ranchers to provide them food at the end of the season. Small portion of the harvest and also some portion of the herds. At the time of the harvest, the shearing of the sheep was a festive occasion. However, sheep was not the only one that was skinned. In this case, David's man was skinned. Let's take a quick look at characters, starting with Nabal. Nabal was wealthy man with a no brain. Well, sounds like a lot of people we know, right? But selfish and harsh and evil attitude toward everyone. Nabal means fool. In other words, his mama did not like him. It doesn't mean that he was ignorant or retarded. Rather, he was living as if there is no God. Oh, sorry, my bad. Thank you. There is no God. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Second character, can I change the slide? Abigail stood in stark contrast to her husband. She was a smart individual with a quick thinker and a well-groomed manner and godly attitude. To top it off, she had a beautiful appearance. Most likely, this marriage was arranged by the mom and dad well before their marriage. I wouldn't be surprised if they were kiddos, the marriage was arranged. How many women are mentioned beautiful in the Bible? Any of you remember?
The two.
Esther, Sarah, and who?
Rebecca.
Huh? Rebecca. And who else? Rachel. And Abigail? That's a five. Okay. First one is Rachel.
Right.
And then Queen Esther. And also the Abigail. Okay. Third character, David, whom we know. He displayed a remarkable patience and obedience to God in spite of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to finish off his enemy Saul. What a man of God, but his training by the Lord is not over by any means. When does this training get over? Thank God. It will be over then, right? Is that? Okay. All right, verse 4, please. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have a shearer, and your shepherd were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find a favor in your eyes, for we come on the feast day. Please give whatever you come to your hand to your servant and to your son David. So when the David's young men came, that they spoke to Nabal according to all this word in the name of David, and waited. Then Nabal asked David's servant and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There were many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearer and give it to the man when I do not know where they are from? So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all this word. Then David said to his men. Every man girded on his sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded his sword. About 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent a messenger from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us. We were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the field. They were loyal to us both night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master, against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took the 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 shear of the roast grain, and 100 clusters of the raisin, 200 cakes of the figs, and loaded them on the donkeys. And she said to his servant, "Go on before me, see, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. All right, give me your interpretation, please.
Mine might be more about the donkeys. How much of this stuff are you carrying off?
What? Isn't it?
He didn't like
but what is the purpose of him for him to say that?
Insult.
What's the purpose? Huh?
Insult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Insult. All right, interpretation. Yes, sir. Okay. Good. Good one. All right. Who else? Yes. Good. Who else? Yes, Pat. Another good interpretation. Okay. Give me your interpretation. That's observation. Yeah.
This stuff all for him.
Okay. Make it into interpretation.
Okay.
Okay. Tends to like your home.
Let me write that down.
Yeah,
the deafness,
common sense.
He had
simple word, he's an idiot.
Yeah, but
sort of
like
yeah.
The Democrats.
Yeah,
I want to get it out there.
All right, Wayne. I mentioned this, that I'm looking from the view of God for David. I'm emphasizing David. He was obedient. Just because he was obedient a few months ago, that doesn't mean he can continue in that mode. Each day brings a different situation. Yes, Manny?
A social.
Coming from God is more like a lesson / test.
Yeah.
A lot of times when there's a test, there's a lesson right behind it, right? You know it, I know it, all of us know it, but because we go through the test and said, "Oh, crook, I just failed it, didn't I?" Oh, yes.
Being rich.
And the Nabal did not. Yes. Yes, Suzanne?
Like we have a right, whatever, you know.
Yeah, everybody should bow
it,
down,
I,
right?
You know, yeah, and so then, like, now I have, you know what, I'm going to retire, whatever, you know, and is watching that, you know, how are you going to react to something that you probably should be getting?
Good. Okay. I'm piggybacking what Suzanne says. We may not gird the sword on our side. We might come up with some devious mindset to get that person somehow later. All right. Huh? Yeah. David's request was polite and gracious. It's not demanding. And probably this 10 young men was standing in front of Nabal with the hat in their hand and waiting for him to hand out. As Bill Merton says, he was insulting, and Manny says he was insulting David. Everybody knew David and Saul's situation. Nabal used a word, if you noticed, I was emphasizing my and I 7 times in one sentence of his short conversation to David's men. Obviously, he was not caring about anyone but himself. Can I change the slide yet? No, not yet? Okay. We may have a great victory in patience today. It does not carry over to tomorrow. God doesn't give us a patience on credit. Get that, please. Every day is a brand new day for God to train us for our patience and faith in Him. Sometimes even not a full day to have that new challenge. It can be next moment. And then we get off the thing and fly up the handle. He's going to train us. He's going to, for our patience and faith in Him. Our anger can be controlled by exercising God-given and God-honoring patience and forgiveness to that person as God forgives us. I often say this to you guys. Forgive the other person as much as you want to be forgiven by God. How much would that be? On the way home from post-surgery appointment for Karen's knee replacement, we were at Valencia Nogales Highway. We'll end up talking about politics. I started rattling off the things I want to do to the Democrat. And then I stopped. I was thinking, oh, that's so wrong. And I had to ask God to forgive me. How long would that last? Not very long. Yeah, next street, if that far. Saul is after David's head. David was easily justified in killing Saul, but yet he didn't. He showed his exceptional patience with Saul a few months earlier, spared his life. But now, when he got the insult from the Nabal, and I mean, this guy is not such a hot shot, but when he got insulted, he just flew off the handle. You guys can remember this. When somebody, Jesus speaking, when he strike your right cheek, what did he say? Okay, does it mean that somebody punch you on the right side? And should you go like this, the left side? No. There's a difference. The context for that, Matthew 5:39, is about insult. It has nothing to do with the self-defense. Okay? 400 plus one, including David, versus one fool. That's a good odd, isn't it? Sometimes we act like David against Nabal of our lives. We may not put on the sword on our side, but in our heart we prepare the revenge. That person we want to get back with a devious plan. I didn't touch it. Call the cops. Did you notice the servant came to her, as you guys noticed? Not Nabal, because she was open for suggestion. Wonder how many times when somebody wants to talk to me and you, they go to somebody else because they don't want to talk to us. Have you thought about that? Maybe a spouse, maybe your children don't want to talk to you, so they go to your wife or your husband. Something to say, huh? Yeah. Abigail had a chance to get rid of this foolish husband. She could say something spiritual. Lord, take him swiftly. But she was not like that. Let's go to the verse 20, please. So it was as she rode on the donkey, and she went down under the cover of the hill. And there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met him. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed in all that belonged to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David. If I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." Verse 23, then, "Now when Abigail saw David and she hastened to dismount from the donkey and fell on her face before David, bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, On me, excuse me, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ear. Hear the word of your maidservant. Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name. Folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from the committing the bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemy and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespasses of your maid servant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battle of the Lords, and the evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And lives of your enemy, he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. It shall come to pass when the Lord has done my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you and no offense of the heart to my Lord. Neither that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, please, then remember your maidservant. Okay? Give me your interpretation, please. Yes? So in other words, I have a listening ear. Good. Okay? Who else? Oh, Chris.
Should we open the hearing?
Good. Good one. Yes, Manny.
I don't know how well you're talking. And they take backing it up other women.
Anyone. Yeah. Good. Okay, who else? Yeah, what he said? Who else? Yes, Pat.
Gail responded, my way of, that's the way we never
want. Excellent point. Another way to say is that tactfulness. She didn't come down and say, you idiot. Probably she would be dead on the spot, right? All right, here's my interpretation. When we confront someone who is in wrong, we should do it with the humility or tactfulness and respect. Just because somebody is wrong, that doesn't mean we should treat them like a dirt. Same goes for when we speak to the unbelievers. I said this. I will say it again and again. Just because they are unbelievers, just because they don't know the truth, that doesn't mean they are idiot. We should not treat them with a disrespect. Correct. You know, no kidding.
Still there.
I start to tell myself whenever I think about some of these politicians whom I disagree with, instead of I ask God to curse someone and send them to hell now, I pray for their salvation. And when, you know what? If they get truly saved, they will stop doing what they've been doing. Don't you think?
What keeps flying is...
Don't let it fly into your head, Mike.
It's flying around in there. is two things, and they're intermingling. Can't help but think prophesying from God. Prophesying to David.
Yes, you know, she's there.
From God, yep. And at the same time, if she didn't really care about, I may even go, she didn't love him, or she would have found some way to just, hey, well, let David come, take care of him, and I'm off there or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Take him swiftly,
yeah,
right?
Take him swiftly, and so there's something that's, she's at the same time buttering up David, trying to apologize on his behalf, and at the other time, at the other half of it. At the same time, she's prophesying.
She was not buttering him up. She was reminding what he is called to be.
Okay.
and reminding him, you are called to do more than this. Just going, instead of going after the little weasel, you remember you're going to be a king. Another thing that I don't know, I'm sure you guys caught it at the end of verse 29.
Yeah.
He shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. Why did she use the word a sling? Reminding you were called to fight against our enemy. Don't lose your sleep over on this kind of thing. Okay. Yes.
Protection of the husband.
Yes. Both. Both. All right, so that Abigail met David with a crock pot in her hand, right? And she already planned all the things she wants to say when she met this angry man. Her interaction with David is tactful, acknowledging Nabal's fault, respectfully addressing David as my lord. She also displayed her faith, crediting the Lord with both restraining David from murder and forming a new dynasty through him. Can you imagine the 400 guys? They smell all this raisin bread and all this food. They're doing this, and probably a couple guys who are close to David said, David, it's the food. Just say thank you. Take it. We can go home and eat. Okay? Shut up.
He was probably doing that himself. He's like, whoa, that smells so good.
Yeah.
I don't want to go kill Nabal now.
We don't have to do that kind of thing.
What do I need to kill if I got raisin bread?
This is the first recorded in the Bible, the catering service. When we are faced with critical decisions, sometimes we have to do something very creative. Apart from the Bible, there is no handbook that tells us what to do when those times comes in God's way. God will speak to us to do something creative. Often when we are faced with a crisis, we can tuck our tails between our legs and run into the corner and then let the cobweb form on us. And there's a better way. As long as we have a breath in our lung, we have purpose of living. No matter how bad the track record we might have been and marked with the disobedience and compromise throughout much of our lives, we are still alive. God says, there is a reason, and I'm willing to do the creative things through you, make the things better. It will take creativity and determination, and it will take a constant eyes on the road. But when he pulls it off, it's marvelous. Honey, can I share what happened to you today? Karen's her right knee replacement kind of tentatively scheduled for September. But some of you ladies know from her that she's in a lot of pain on the right knee. It's a bone to bone and a lot of pain. Is that still? Anyway, so we went to the doctor, and we were kind of talking. Hopefully, maybe he can schedule her somewhat earlier. And he saw her knee. He was very pleased with the process, and he said, "We will do the other leg surgery when you say uncle." Karen says, "Uncle now." And he said, "Okay." He looked at the schedule and said, "How about August 12th? She and I kind of look at each other, "Yes." And then he came back after talk with the scheduler and he said, "We cannot do August 12th." And I was thinking, "Oh, great." And he said, "We can do July 24th. When God pulls it off, it's wonderful. All right, verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you because you have kept me from this day, from the coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand." Verse 34. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hastened and come to meet me. Surely in the morning light, no male would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what he had brought him, and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heed your voice and respect your person." Now the Abigail went to Nabal. There he was, holding a feast in his house, like a feast of the king. And Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, his wife told these things, his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. In other words, he had a stroke. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Don't do bad things, you'll have a stroke. Okay, what you got? Good? Yes? Yeah. Let's not forget what Benny said. Sin reaches very far. It's not just immediate yourself. It goes very far out. Yeah, John Donne? Yeah. Yes, Miss Anna? What if that advice comes from somebody whom we don't like? It's like a vinegar in the mouth, right? But should we reject or should we take it? Okay. This is happy. It looks like a happy ending, right? Mm-hmm. But is it always like that?
No.
So the Lord step in and teach us not to do what we were planning to do. And we say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Does the situation get changed immediately? But who get changed? We get changed, right? Three things strikes me as I think about this incident of life of David and our lives today. Number one, whatever you do when the conflict arises, be wise in the Lord. Be wise in the Lord. If we are not careful, we will handle conflict in a typical flesh way, and we will regret. What do I mean being wise? Looking at the whole picture, not just from our side, from the other side. Because most of the time, situation is both sides, doesn't it? We like to look at we are the one who is right, everybody else is wrong. Look at it from the both sides. Get the most important thing is get the God's perspective. Because He gives us wisdom we need when we ask of Him. When we ask Him for it. James says, if anyone lacking in wisdom, book of James, mm-hmm. anyone lacking in wisdom, what does He tell us to do? Ask. Second thing that I see is take each conflict as it comes and handle it separately. Handle it separately. Again, I'm going back to what I said previously. We may won the battle yesterday, but that doesn't count. Today's a skirmish. You may have a great measure of patience today, but that it makes no difference tomorrow when the attacks start to come. So take the situation individually. Don't think that, well, since I had a good patience yesterday, maybe I have a spare some left over. No, we don't. The third thing. Whenever you realize that there is nothing you can do, wait patiently. Yeah. Don't keep on going. Restrain yourself from anything hasty. Let me say with this, with all the patience and all the experience that I have, I seldom made wise decisions when I'm in haste. And I never regret the things that I didn't say. A lot of things that I have in my mind and I was about to say, and that little small voice tapped my chest and said, "Don't. Shut up." So go to chapter 40 of Psalms, please. Psalm 40, verse 1. Hold on. Yeah.
He still had, right?
I'm sorry?
Did
Abhyasa. Yeah. He was hopping mad. How often do you do the things when you're the logical thing when you're hopping mad?
We're mad, we don't.
Yeah. Chapter 40. Okay. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my step. I love the verse 3. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear. Will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. Chapter 40 in Psalm. Never say that David's situation changed. It says that David changed. When we wait, your situation may not change, but you will. In fact, you may discover that the reason for the waiting was all for your benefit, because you are the one who need to be changed.
Question.
Application directly, huh?
No, application may
sure.
I don't know where can do
something. I hear you.
Yeah.
Simply stop. Yeah, I heard this from somebody. A human being is the only one run wild when they don't know what to do. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
What happened to the animal when they are pretty much lost, they don't know what to do?
They run in circles.
No, animals lie down, show the belly up.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to feel sorry for you?
Oh, boy. He scratches my belly and I feel like... Yeah, exactly.
Three qualities of a peacemaker. Three qualities of peacemaker. We need to learn this from this woman, Abigail. Men in general, as many said, we don't think thoroughly through everything thoroughly. For everything God created, he said what? It is good, right? Mm-hmm. And after he created man, he said, I can do better. So he created a woman and helpmate. To get that help, we need to be teachable to the Lord. Write it down somewhere, please. We need to be teachable to the Lord and his word. We need to be teachable to the Lord. Whether it comes from the babe's mouth or your woman or somebody you don't like. I know it's very hard for some of us who has an attitude issue. Are you enjoying this, Kathy?
Stock is still up, to put it that way.
Okay, we can all learn a lot from this lady, Abigail. Number one, what did she do? What did she have? Tact. She called herself maidservant 6 times and addressed David, my lord, 8 times during her conversation with him. Proverbs 15:1, please. Proverbs 15:1. Let's remember this, especially if you think, if you know whether you have a short fuse or not, right? If you have a short fuse, remember this. Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Amen? Second thing we should learn from Abigail is loyalty. Abigail took the responsibility of Nabal's foolishness on herself, even though she knew that Nabal was a fool. She kept her commitment to who? Nabal. Amazingly. Especially on half of the marriage is going down the drain nowadays, this kind of commitment is rare and special. Third thing that we should notice from Abigail is a faith. From verse 26 through 31, Abigail knew and acknowledged that David would be the king someday. Isn't it amazing? When we please the Lord in spite of a difficult situation, God will do wonderful things to show his approval on our choice of actions. All right, go down to verse 38, please. We are almost done. Stay awake with me. Then it came about after about 10 days, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Remember, his heart became like a stone, right? And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of the Nabal on his own head." David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servant of the David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying that David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servant of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste, rode on the donkey, attended by the five of her maiden, and she followed the messenger of David and became his wife. David also took the Anoham, Ahinom, Jezreel, and both of them were his wives. And Saul gave Michal, his daughter, to David's wife, and Pelti, the son of Laish, and from the Galim. It's almost like a fairy tale, happily ever after, right? Huh? Match.com. You gonna try that? Hope for you.
More like a soap opera.
Okay. Don't look at the application I wrote. I want you to give me the application. What did you learn? What does it mean to you? Okay. Good one. What else? You took them all in, Kathy. Come on, speak up. It's a good time to speak up.
Obedience comes.
Good. You were saying, you were going to talk? Or you're scratching your ear? Yes, Kathy. Don't we all have a problem with that?
Yes.
Yes, Miss Pat.
Always use the wisdom of that situation.
Amen.
Or deal with the situation.
Just move on. Good, good, good one. How do we hear from God? His word and through prayer. Prayer, a lot of times people think that prayer is just talking to him, listening to.
Yeah, he's got us in here talking. Sometimes it's through the wisdom that a sister or the Lord saying to this and listen to, this is what I do.
Yeah. I have the resident Holy Spirit who often stop me from on my track. All right, I have four applications for you guys. Yesterday's victory does not guarantee today's battle against Satan. Yesterday's victory does not guarantee today's battle against Satan. Second application, if we handle conflict in a fleshly manner, we will fail. Fail or fall? Should be fail. Sorry, my bad. My fingers don't have a brain, and I don't have a brain sometimes either. Third application, let's restrain ourselves from anything hasty. When somebody says you need to make up your mind right now, you tell them, "I'm not doing it." Number four, if a conflict arises, be what?
Tactful.
Say it again.
Tactful.
Say it again.
Tactful.
And then be, and be, and then be loyal to do what is right and be faithful to God. This is very important. Be loyal to do what is right. I told Karen this story. They actually did this. There are hundreds teenagers, high school students were gathering in this particular gathering. They did a study. They already talked to the 90 students. Whenever I ask you the question, I want you to raise your hand when it's a wrong answer. I want you to raise your hand with the wrong answer. It was two answers. Wrong answer, right answer. There are 10 students who were not told. Okay? You with me?
Yeah.
And this person, surveyor, asked them that question and given them two choices. This answer, that is wrong, and that answer, that is right. And 90 students all raised their hand for the wrong answer as their choice. Now there's a 10th student looking around. You follow me?
Yeah.
Following the crowd. That's a mob mentality, folks. All these things, the social media is generating mob mentality. And that feeds on each other, in the right side or wrong left side, both. And so that they even decide who should be right, who should be guilty, who should not be guilty. The court of law is pretty much out the window. So what would you do? What would you do if you are the only one who said we should not do this because it's not right against, according to the word of God? Would you stick with it or would you follow the majority? It's easy for us to say, yes, I will follow the word of God here. But when you're all alone and there are 99 people who look at you with that look, would you stand up? Be loyal to God. Amen? All right, let's stand up and pray.